be good. Chapter 8, the churning of the milk ocean, Pratigya. We're down here. Okay. Adhyaya Prakashika. After Lord Shiva drank all the poison, both the demigods and demons took courage and resumed their activities of churning. Because of this churning, first a Sarabi cow was produced. Great saintly persons accepted this cow to derive clarified butter from its milk and offer this clarified butter in oblations for great sacrifices. Thereafter, a horse named Uchaishrava was generated. This horse was taken by Balni Maharaj. Then there appeared Airavata and other elephants that could go anywhere in any direction. And she elephants also appeared. The gem known as Kustuba was also generated, and Lord Vishnu took that gem and placed it on his chest. Thereafter, Parijata flower and the Apsaras, the most beautiful women in the universe, were generated. Then the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, appeared. The demigods, great sages, Gandharvas, and others offered her their respectful worship. The goddess of fortune could not find anyone to accept as her husband. At last she selected Lord Vishnu to be her master. Lord Vishnu gave her a place to stay everlastingly at his chest. Because of this combination of Lakshmi and Narayan, all who were present, including the demigods and people in general, were very pleased. The demons, however, being neglected by the goddess of fortune, were very depressed. I guess this is another point why they were going to be more careful with Mohini, right? You know, it's like you missed out on one, you don't want to blow with the next one. Right? Yeah. Then Varuni, the goddess of drinking, was generated, and by the order of Lord Vishnu, the demons accepted her.
But they got one, too.
Yeah, no, they got. Yeah, they did. True. Then the demons and the demigods, with renewed energy, began to churn again. This time a partial incarnation of Lord Vishnu, called Dhanvantari, appeared. He was very beautiful and he carried a jug containing nectar. The demons immediately snatched the jug from Dhanvantari's hand and began to run away. And the demigods, being very morose, took shelter of Vishnu. After the demons snatched the jug from Dhanvantari, they began to fight amongst themselves. Right, so that's going to be the next thing. So they take it away from there, then they fight, and at the end everybody will be dead, and then the pot will be there, right? Yes.
I was just thinking about this last time, some time ago. You see that there's a succession of personalities coming out of the milk ocean. So, of course, our mentality is always somewhat defined by space and time. So, what was happening before that? You know, what was in your writing before I came out and did this question? Or is it just it's always happening?
It means you want to know the exact name of the horse or whatever he was writing.
Just like Lakshmi is coming out, and we also see Lakshmi is always present.
Is that then when she's manifest? The point is everything has to manifest at a time. Because we're dealing with time and space, everything has to have its beginning. So then the Lord in his pastimes, everything, like he always has Sudarshan Chakra, but then somebody gives that to him. Right? He always has Panchajanya, but then that pastime then where he kills that demon, and then, right? So it's always there, but there's a time, so then you can say, okay, here's the beginning, so then we can remember about that. But we know that the Lord's transcendental, he's just doing this as a pastime. That's the meaning. If you know about his birth and activities, then you attain the transcendental position. So it just makes something to think about. Otherwise, he already has everything, and then, you know, what do you talk about? And then, you know, and then you know, you're sitting there and waiting, and then you go, and then, oh, no, that's already there. No, you already did that one. So, you know, so what do you do? Like, so that's why then you have all these things and they all manifest. Yeah, this is just, because there's different moods, different times, so you see all these things come early. Like here, it was it was established that this was happening.
First manvantara.
Yeah, in the first manvantara, I think in the first.
Daksha's daughter.
Yeah, it would be the first day in the first manvantara. You know, so it's all happening early. So there's all kinds of things that, for a short time, they may go on and be very unique to that time, and then after that, it's these things are established, and that's the way for it is for the rest of Brahma's lifetime. Yeah, can be, but it's just that they become established. You know, just like certain things that weren't there before, then I think it was like Niyoga. That was established by Vena. You know, so it became a Vedic principle that's used in the other ages, but it's considered a strange thing because, you know, it comes from him like that. So there's all these kind of pastimes. Yes?
Actually, this pastime is happening in the sixth manu.
The sixth manu.
We started from there. Like, we are in currently the sixth manu, and this pastime is happening at that point. Ajita avatar is of the sixth.
Of the sixth. Okay.
Then
so
comes Vamana avatar. After this, there is Bali Maharaj's pastime.
Okay. 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 But it's still in the first day.
Maybe.
Okay. At any point, these things are always happening again and again, because the different Puranas will mention the different, basically the same pastime, but there's slight adjustments in it. So, yeah, there's something to keep everybody busy. Yeah. Okay. Then the demons and demigods, we just got it, snatched the jug. Lord Vishnu solaced the demigods, who therefore did not fight, but remained silent. While the fighting was going on amongst the demons, the Lord himself appeared as the incarnation Mohini, the most beautiful woman in the universe. Shloka Anusharanam.
It means that he was more beautiful than Lakshmi, and she didn't get upset.
Yeah, that's coming up. It's in the purpose of Vishnu Chakravarti.
Right. We're all thinking, what about this, that? No, but did she get upset? That's the real essential point. Okay, 1-46. Different entities emerging as a result of churning the milk ocean. Verses 1. Sri Shukadev Goswami said, upon Lord Shiva's drinking the poison, both the demigods and the demons, being very pleased, began to churn the ocean with renewed vigor. As a result of this, there appeared a cow known as Surabhi. Srila Prabhupada comments. The Surabhi cow is described as Havirdhani, the source of butter. Butter, when clarified by melting, produces ghee, or clarified butter, which is inevitably necessary for performing great ritualistic sacrifices. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 18.5, Yajna Dana Tapa Karma Natya Jam karam eva tat. Sacrifice, charity, and austerity are essential to keep human society perfect in peace and prosperity. Yajna, the performance of sacrifice, is essential. To perform yajna, clarified butter is absolutely necessary. And to get clarified butter, milk is necessary. Milk is produced when there are sufficient cows. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita 18.44, cow protection is recommended. Krishi go rakshya vani jam vaishya karma swabhava jam. Right, so it's not that taking care of the cows is just in itself, right? Because we're nice guys, so we like to take care of, you know, furry creatures because they're, you know, cute and cuddly and all that. And I say the koalas, they sleep too much, so the cows are better because they, you know, they're more in the mode of goodness. It's that the milk is essential in sacrifice. So the brahminical activities is the point of Vedic culture. That essentially you need ghee, or you need the dairy products. So therefore cows, therefore go brahmana hitayacha. Right? Because it's engagement in the Lord's service. Mm-hmm. It's not a pranamoyic thing of taking care of the animals. That's the difficulty with the modern approaches to, we'll protect the animals by, you know, boycotting and stuff like this. Because the problem is it's just about them as an animal. It's not about the higher principles. Why are they important as an animal? Mm-hmm. What do they add to? That's not the discussion. You understand? Mm-hmm. So it's not even on the platform of Dharma. You know, because we're not addressing the Dharma of the cow. So the Dharma of the cow is to give milk, and then that milk is to be used in sacrifice. So they give milk, and then the Dharma of that milk is to be used in sacrifice. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is that Dharma is being left out of it. It's simply about, you know, being nice to animals. Does that make sense? Yeah, so then it doesn't have a spiritual purpose. You know, it's nice, but it's taking what is secondary. It's taking just the external form of being nice to the animal, rather than what's the nature of the animal and the nature of dairy product, right? And their importance within the Brahminical environment, right? And that's why then the cows are important. That's why cows are dear to Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? So it's a very, very different approach. Right? So we see is that therefore Prabhupada, you know, milk is engaged in Krishna's service in like this. And if we can establish farms and produce our own, then even better. Like that. But if you can't, then still, milk is important. It's part of the Brahminical culture. So even though it's not ideal, it's still better. But if we say that, no, we won't use that, Krishna wouldn't want milk from these kind of sources, then that means we don't actually understand Krishna or our philosophy at all. You know, nice guys, trying to be nice guys, great. But the point is that, let us say the child goes to school, gets bullied. Then this child's coming, the mother hears about it. The child's coming home, but the mother won't let him into the house. Because she's not going to support, you know, that people can bully a child. And she's not going to deal with that child because he's being bullied. So out of protestation for, you know, this bullying, that she's not going to deal with this child. Right? Does that make sense? No, it's as stupid as it gets. That's the philosophy.
Where is this coming from?
It's coming from those who consider if we don't use milk products, then we're somehow or another supporting the cows, though, except for a handful. And those ones that do run their own goshalas and do try to do something and make it aware, then they doing this, then that's fine. Then that's just their personal austerity. But for anybody else, they're just lazy. And they need something to get their bile moving. Right? So they can digest their salad because they, you know, have a cause. But in, what is it? It's been 10 years or more that it's been kind of popular. Why aren't there dairy farms run by vegans? Why isn't there a vegan line of dairy products? Because they actually couldn't care less about a cow. It just happens. Before it was the blue whale. When I was a kid, it was the blue whale was still, the big thing.
Still
blue whales. Yeah, see, so cows are a more recent thing. So it's just a thing to, you know, people chaining themselves to trees, you know, this, it's just one of those kind of things, going out in the boat, you know, like that, rowing the boat out in front of the big, you know, oil tanker to protest and then getting run over by the oil tanker and sinking, you know, these kind of things like that. Or the guy standing out there on the railroad track because they're moving nuclear waste and that he's there protesting and the train runs him over. You know, so all these kind of things. So it's just pranamoy. It has nothing to do with Krishna consciousness. And because it's a modern fad, therefore we take it up as it's important, you know, like everything else that goes on, you know. So I remember all the girls used braids, but then for the Karmi girls, when pigtails were in, no, not pigtails, ponytails were in, then all our girls switched to ponytails. Pigtails.
Takes the charm off.
Pigtails, come on. I guess it's an American thing. You don't call them pigtails? Yeah, pigtails. When there's two, it's pigtails. When there's one, it's a ponytail. I don't know what pigs don't have two tails. I don't know. Curly tail.
Curly tails.
Oh, okay, so they curl it. Okay, so pigtails. Okay. Okay, but they just put pigtails, so you have two pigtails. Okay, yeah.
That's where you're from? Don't call something pigtail.
Or a pigtail. Yeah, well, generally big girls don't use pigtails, so it's little girls, and so therefore it's fun. So what I'm saying is that whatever is popular, we do. If it's not popular, we don't do. Like the men wearing earrings, you know, the studs and that. Brahmins have been wearing that since time immemorial. And that we'll never do. But as soon as the karmis do it, then bang, immediately everybody's got them. Like that. So that's the whole point. When the karmis do it, oh, then it's we should be doing.
That we have to fit in.
Yeah, we have to fit in, like that. So that's the way we're, what I'm meaning, is that if devotees, if karmis weren't vegans, I guarantee they're, except for someone who the doctor told them they can't take dairy products, that we wouldn't have one. Like that. So it's just popular jazz. You know what I'm saying? Then there's, as I said, a few individuals who do care about cows, they do keep cows, they do their run their own thing. They're trying to make other devotees aware, so they put these restrictions, so with the idea that they'll be more supportive, because they have a program. Whether it's successful or not, that I don't know, but...
It's an economic decision, actually, at the end of the day. These devotees are most of the time they want to have the hips and milk, but then the first discussion is, how much does it cost? That's the next.
Yeah, that's the whole point, because I heard of one temple, I think it was in Australia. Yeah, one temple, I can't remember where it was, or one community or something. They found a dairy farmer who takes care of his cows. And they arranged with him so he could maintain that they'll buy milk. But you have to buy a certain amount of milk, you know, so they can maintain it. You know, X amount of whatever it is, liters. And so then they work about the community. But it'll cost more. No one wants to pay more. So it's nothing to do with cows. Like that. That's my point. Otherwise, why is it that it means all vegans are in the city? I guarantee you there are no farm people living on farms who are vegans. Like that. So it's a city thing. You know, you feel good sitting around in your vegan restaurant and, you know, talking about that, and the vegetarian next to you, how the guy's a real demon and everything. You know, even though you're taking prasad, you're in a devotee restaurant, and the vegans and the vegetarians are all devotees. You know? Like that. So that's what we're meaning. It's just a mundane point. It's not taking it. Milk is necessary. Prabhupada's point was, so he was drinking it. It's not that it was any different then. Right? So the point is that it's necessary for yajna, it's necessary for finer brain tissues. It's necessary. Now, if you can now improve it, then it develops. That's the whole point. You start from the essence, and then you work back to the secondary. Here they're starting with the secondary of a secondary, and then thinking that that's going to do something. You know, maybe after 30, 40 years, when they see a market in it, if vegan remains, then they'll see a market, then somebody will make money off of it, so it's going to cost you more anyway. Mm-hmm. So why not, you know, do it now?
It's actually a little worse back then, because the standardization of milk happened a little bit after Prabhupada left. Because in those days, even in America, it was considered to be, you had to put certain vitamins inside of the milk. So they would put some vitamin D derivative, and that was actually carcinogenic. It was found to be carcinogenic.
Oh, okay.
So it was actually worse in terms of the standard of the actual milk itself, not how the milk is being produced.
Oh, okay. Milk itself, yeah. But the point is that there are standards, because it's like this, because you drink milk, then you worry about cows. You don't drink milk, you actually don't worry about cows. Otherwise, like I said, no vegan dairy farms, because they don't care about cows. They'll say, it's just, but, you know, if it's important, you do something about it. Like that. So here is that the sarabi is the first thing to come out. So the whole point is it's about their engagement in sacrifice. That's where we'll see. Then she'll go with all the Brahmins and everything. Mm-hmm. Like that.
Maharaj?
Yes?
For the ghee is essential for the sacrifice. And how much is it recommended that we should use the ghee of Jersey cows and not the desi cows?
That's another point. You get into this and that and whether they're cows or not. I think some of the hardcore Hindus think any cow but a deshi cow, they're actually not cows. That's their philosophy.
Who are they? Pigs?
Yeah, I'm not sure how they come up with it, but whatever it is. So that's another point. That's then that goes back to what the Vedanta Sutra used, that term smarta. We start to get into that level. Point is those entities that follow the nature of cows, then that's used like that. But as far as cows go, taken care of, the deshi cows actually are easy to take care of, like that. The I say, at least depending on where it is in the world, the even the Western karmis are dealing with cows. They prefer the deshi cows, the Brahma cows. They even call them Brahma cows in the West because they're more peaceful and everything like that. So they're easier to deal with, and
they're more resistant.
Sorry?
They're more resistant to conditions. Local kind. Resistance power is more.
Yes, yeah, they adjust to anything, and you know, they're cool.
Maybe not to a North Dakota winter.
That's another thing. Like that. Then you get the, what do you call it? The
Brown Swiss.
That, or one of those guys. The ones in Belgium. Those cows, you just sit out in the snow and couldn't care less. Those guys. Yeah, they're a very different cow. They look, you know, they look like they're more related to a yak. Right? That, but it's just, you can't really see. They're just kind of, it's not like they have the regular straight hair. It's kind of like really
woolly
hair. Yeah, they're really woolly.
But,
they're wild cows. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued, O King Parikshit, great sages who are completely aware of the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies took charge of that Surabhi cow, right? Who are completely aware of the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies, right? They're the ones that will care for the cow, right? As we were saying, the city slickers, what do they care about cows? That's why it's so hard to establish farms, you know, like that.
Nobody fought over the cow. There was no fight over the cow.
No, because <they're,
laughs> taken.
Yeah. No, not at all.
You're vegans.
Yes, which produced all the yogurt, milk, and ghee absolutely necessary for offering oblations into the fire. They did this just for the sake of pure ghee, which they wanted for the performance of sacrifices to elevate themselves to the higher planetary systems up to Brahma Loka. Srila Prabhupada comments. Surabhi cows are generally found on the Vaikuntha planets, as described in Brahma Samhita. Lord Krishna on his planet, Goloka Vrindavan, engages in tending the Surabhi cows, Surabhirabhi Palayantam, Brahma Samhita 529. These cows are the Lord's pet animals. From the Surabhi cows, one can take as much milk as one needs, and one may milk these cows as many times as he desires. In other words, the Surabhi cow can yield milk unlimitedly. Milk is necessary for the performance of yajna. Sages know how to use milk to elevate human society to the perfection of life. Since cow protection is recommended everywhere in the Shastras, the Brahmavadis took charge of the Surabhi cow, in which the demons were not very interested.
Mm-hmm. There we go.
Yes. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveda Bhaktivinoda ki, Sainitai Gaura Premanandini.